Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Ben Standing is with us. We'll carry Quinn live at 12:30. He is set to address the media. I don't know what we're going to learn from him. Maybe Ben has a hunch. Ben, of course, writes for Substack, has a great reporting / column that you should subscribe to. You can get access to it at Ben Standing on X. So, let's talk Terry first, because yesterday the news came out that he was seeking a second opinion. Now we've got news that he is seeking multiple opinions. Our own Dr. Sabah, who has done 20 surgeries, she let us know, with this Dr. William Myers, who Ian Rappaport reported Terry had sought out. She believes that Myers is the world-renowned expert on sports hernias, and if it's a hernia, it's 6 weeks before he comes back to playing football. That is, you know, one of our regular callers. She is a doctor. Take it for what it's worth. But what do you make of Terry's injury and the news around it here over the last, 12 hours or so?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, obviously, like you said, we don't know for sure. I'm going to guess we may not know much more today, because I don't know if Dan Quinn's going to give us tons of information on it. But obviously, it would be a huge blow if he's out at all, even just for one game. This is, as we've discussed a thousand times now, this is not a deep group at receiver. They already had Noah Brown out last week. We'll see if he's able to go. So that would be a huge blow from that perspective. But, I mean, the other perspective, and look, Terry is a guy who has not missed a game since 2019. I think it was the last time he missed a game. And is it coincidental that he potentially could miss a game or more now, the after he missing all of training camp because of the contract dispute, when everybody always says, hey, if you miss all of training camp, these types of injuries are more likely to occur? I mean, obviously, I can't officially link anything to it, but it seems like it's pretty decent circumstantial evidence, and that was the fear, I think that we all had to a degree once he was, missing day after day after day. So, if he's out at all, even just for the one game, I think it's a huge blow. If he's out for long, for a while, then they are really going to be hurting. I mean, to lose him potentially, having already lost Austin Ekeler, one of your better pass catchers, with Noah Brown iffy at best right now, and the rest of your receiving room is, Debo again. I don't really count him as a wide receiver per se, but okay, you have Debo and then I don't know. So this would be a pretty significant one. And again, not just because he's talented, but because of what's behind him.
Yeah. I want to get into that a little bit more. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because everybody's emotional and was emotional and passionate about the subject as it was going on all off season about, if the two are linked. Let's just suggest that, as you said, circumstantial evidence, he's never been hurt before and he didn't, participate in camp. But assigning blame at this point is ridiculous because you could make the case for both sides. In fact, I think personally you could make the case that Terry and his agent should have gotten real about their value much sooner and come to a deal and gotten into camp and had a much fuller summer. Some of you would say, no, the team should have just overpaid him and gotten it done since you're in this window of trying to win big. So that aside, it right now feels like they're probably not going to have him for at least a week. So let's get into what you just started a little bit more in depth. Like, Deebo Samuel would be the only regular player at a wide receiver position, and he's not even a true wide receiver, that would be suiting up. How would you see kind of the snap counts playing out if both Terry and Noah Brown don't play Sunday in Atlanta?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, this is where it gets, you know, super confusing. In terms of just pure receivers, look, I would think Jalen Lane would play a lot, and Luke McCaffrey, you know, that was his best game this past one. But, you know, still, I don't know how confident anybody is in him as a, you know, pure starter, having to beat corners when there's nobody else on the field to really distract, you know, the defense. And, you know, Jalen Lane is more of a slot guy than he is an outside guy. To some degree, Luke might be viewed that way as well. And so is Deebo. So you potentially would have your top three receivers are all slot guys, more or less, to boot. Now, you know, Chris Moore exists too, but, you know, he's helped a little bit here and there, but he's more of a bit player for sure. But even if you then said, okay, well, maybe you lean more into, say, 12 personnel. Well, is John Bates playing? I don't know. Most of the 12 personnel they did this past week was like when Trent Scott was on the field more than it was Ben Sinnott, who, you know, by Dan Quinn and others, you know, said, hey, he had a pretty good game as a blocker. You know, we know in theory he's a guy that they have some faith in as a pass catcher, but, you know, how does that work? And, you know, could you go more with, you know, two backs? Maybe. I mean, we're getting to the point where, you know, this always reminds me of like a basketball team where, you know, a college basketball team where, like, you know, your top two big men are in foul trouble or hurt, and now all of a sudden you're going with this like 6'5 and under lineup and trying to confuse the other team by, you know, some sort of shenanigans or whatever. So we're reaching
shenanigans. Yeah. We're going to play a lot of zone, and we're going small with the two bigs in foul trouble.
Yeah, if people want to see Ja'Cory Brooks off the practice squad, I mean, this could be the time for that, but that's not, you know, that's...
Who cares if people want to see it? Do you think that would be a possibility? Because I do, if both Brown and McLaurin are out. That would be the obvious move, right?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, they don't even have that many receivers at this point. I mean, purely just to, fill in the depth chart, you would have to bring up somebody else from the practice squad, and, you know, he's not the only one there, but presumably Ja'Cory Brooks would be maybe the next guy in line. But, it's extremely problematic, to say the least. And, you know, this goes back to the discussion we had at the beginning of the year when trying to assess, you know, what do we think about this team? And you can look at the roster, and you can look at the staff and the camaraderie and all these things and say, hey, they should have another successful year. But the notion of regression, it's not something you can definitively point to and say this is going to happen, but the point is things even out over time, and they had really good injury luck last year, relatively speaking, and they've had miserable injury luck so far, and that's even before we know what Terry's deal officially is. So, it is a rough one. And to that spot in particular, you know, again, I'm not saying like losing Austin Ekeler is good, but like at least they have other options. Even losing Jaden, as great as he is, you have a guy in Marcus Mariota who's a highly competent player. They just—it's not so much the case here at receiver with this room. So it would be tough.
Yeah, and let me just remind everybody, including ourselves, that while it does seem from an injury standpoint that things are kind of like the walls are closing in, they're 2-1, and they're a short favorite anyway to get to 3-1. On Sunday in Atlanta. You know, the season isn't about to come apart. I'll tell you, the game Sunday was crucial. It really was a game, you know, as they weather this storm. We don't know if it'll be a season-long storm, but as we weather this early season injury storm, it was crucial to get that game on Sunday, and the setup for it was great. What's ironic is that the setup for Sunday's game actually goes more Atlanta's way. We're talking to Ben Standig. Let's get to Jaden Daniels. So what do you expect? Do you have a hunch right now if he's going to practice, if he's going to talk, if he's going to start Sunday in Atlanta or not?
Well, I mean, you know, one potential clue we're going to get should come up here soon, not only practice, but today is the day that the starting quarterback talks. Last week we did get Mariota, and it played out that way. I don't know who's going to be sitting at the dais or at the podium or whatever. After practice today, we'll see. If I had a guess on that, I would guess it's probably not Jaden, just so he doesn't have to answer questions one way or the other about any of this and let Mariota get up there again. But beyond that, we'll see. If he's not out there, I would say at least by tomorrow, then I don't would imagine he's missing another game. Maybe you could even say, hey, if he's not out there today doing at least something, that would be a bad sign as well. You know, we don't, again, Dan Quinn's been pretty tight with the information on injuries, so we don't quite know how close he was. It doesn't seem like it was particularly close last week, just based on the anecdotal evidence that we have. I know Dan Quinn said this week, and I buy it, that there's no correlation between the comfort they have in Marcus Mariota starting again and whether or not Jaden would play. If Jaden's healthy, they're going to play him. But as you said, they're 2-1. Mariota looked good. You know, they can't just completely block that out of their head. So I would imagine if there's any doubt, they would stick with Mariota.
Yeah, if there's any doubt on his health, it's too early in the season. And you won a game that you really needed to kind of win and take care of so you can go ahead and play Marcus Mariota. By the way, there's this quote that I wanted to read from Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. He tweeted this out yesterday afternoon. Right now, my two favorite play designer callers are Shane Steichen, Indianapolis, and Cliff Kingsbury. Majority are good, solid concepts that connect and have answers for the quarterback. Really enjoy popping on their tape and would like to play for them! Exclamation point. On a side note, Marcus Mariota may not be a starter in every system, but he's in the right system in Washington. And I believe if Jaden Daniels wasn't there, he'd be a solid starter in the NFL there, meaning in D.C. This is what you and I talked about on Monday, is that this is probably the best system he's ever been a part of. And he's got to find that place in the offseason after the season ends, or he won't be that quarterback. A lot of you tweeted me and said, if Kingsbury leaves for a head coaching job, he takes Marcus Mariota as his bridge quarterback, or maybe not even as his bridge. You agree with Kurt Warner on that, right?
I mean, certainly he has looked as comfortable as, you know, we can recall in some time. You know, obviously he didn't play really in Philly, and his Atlanta stint ended very abruptly. You know, we've always known he's had the talent, but it's always, you know, it's just been a bit up and down for him throughout his career. Clearly he loves being here, and they love having him, and that's great. I also imagine if somebody had come to him this offseason and said, hey, we really like what you did in Washington, we want you to be our starter, we'll pay you X amount of money, you know, for to do this or to be in the mix or whatever, that he would have taken that. But maybe not. I don't know. I guess... As good as he's doing here, it is in a short-term basis. How he would do over a 17-game schedule, who knows? I mean, I don't know the worst. I don't know that I'm prepared to say he's somebody's starter. Bridge, okay. I mean, obviously that's kind of what, you know, they brought him in here for. If the rookie quarterback, whoever it was going to be, wasn't ready, and he's very capably filled in now several times when Jaden's been out. So all that's good, but I don't know that he's somebody's starter or, you know, a guy you're trying to build around. I don't know that Cliff is saying, hey, come with me. Who knows? I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think I think what's really interesting about him and his recent journey is it's entirely possible that he's just happy here being a backup and being called on when needed. You never know. All right. It sounds like you are getting out of your car and walking into the building in Ashburn. I will let you go. I appreciate it. I will talk to you on Friday.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks.
Ben Standing, everybody. Dan Quinn set to speak in about 15 minutes. Yeah, I wanted you to hear some of the stuff coming out of Atlanta about Raheem Morris and about the Falcons' offense. We'll play some of that. We'll try to get to some NFL buy and sell today. We may not hit that until tomorrow. But also an interesting number about a corner on our team that hasn't played that well through three games, which is a bit of a surprise. So we got a lot left on this show, including Quinn at 12:30. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Telling you, I'm looking right in your eye. If Marcus Mariota is quarterbacking the Commanders, he is not coming in here to end the Falcons season. That cannot happen in the Bins.
Be careful what you say.
We better
be careful.
Raheem Morris,
what you say,
needs to be careful.
If we lose
about
Marcus Mariota next week,
I'm telling you,
I think Jaden Daniels is going to play. But if we lose Marcus Mariota, you fire him right then. You fire him. Period. I don't want to hear it after that.
That was 680 the Fan in Atlanta. If the Falcons lose to Marcus Mariota on Sunday, Raheem Morris should be fired. They are fired up down in Atlanta. Michael Penix Jr., it is so early on him. We had Josh Kendall from The Athletic on last hour. He covers the Falcons. They are big believers down there in Michael Penix Jr. They're not moving off him anytime soon. We've heard that before in situations with young quarterbacks, but the key is the locker room. I remember Mike Shanahan many years ago saying, once you lose the locker room on a quarterback and you don't address it, you're done. Your team team is finished. So we'll see what happens there. It could be a benefit for Washington getting Michael Penix Jr. this week if he's still struggling. I'll read from something that was written in the in ESPN's column today. This is from Dan Graziano. Talking to people around the league about Michael Penix Jr., they believe he's got the arm talent to be special, but what they're saying right now is he's just not seeing it. In other words, defenses are clouding the picture and confusing the young quarterback. Penix appeared to be playing more freely late last season and has the arm strength to utilize the entire field. So he can throw it, but he isn't seeing it right now. Big opportunity for Washington's defense. The key will be stopping the run. Very interesting note from, by the way, that was Jeremy Fowler who reported that, not Graziano, my fault. Fowler also wrote that the Falcons, who have relied on a lot of 12 personnel this year with you know, the one back and the two tight ends. That second tight end is Charlie Warner to go along with Kyle Pitts. Charlie Warner played 56 snaps, and they ran the ball right down the Vikings' throat in week two. And then they got away from 12 personnel for some reason against the Panthers, and Charlie Warner played just 14 snaps. Now, he was banged up with an ankle injury, but they had another tight end they did not put in there. I would expect a lot of 12 personnel and the attempt to run the football against Washington's defense. This will be, I said it earlier, the run defense has been, through 3 weeks, improved from last year. Kinlaw, Payne's playing at a high level, you know, Armstrong, Wagner, you know, etc. They're playing at a very, you know, improved level from last year. But let's not forget that two of the opponents had major O-line issues. The Giants and the Raiders. So now you're getting a team that is better up front and has an elite level back and one of the best number two backs in the game. I think you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, which means you'll have a lot of base 4-3 for Washington. And do they need to load the box to stop the run, or can they do it with their front seven and cover on the back end? We'll see. But that will be a big part, I think, of Sunday's matchup, especially Washington's defense against Atlanta's offense. This was Pro Football Focus's Dalton Wasserman talking about Atlanta's offense and play calling.
I don't think this is all on Michael Penix. I think this Falcons offense is not entirely sure of what it wants to be. Right now, the play calling for me is a bit vanilla. I think it's the football equivalent of tipping your pitches. The disturbing part to me, first and foremost, I think there's still, it feels like, running this offense like it's Kirk Cousins back there with a 80% recovered Achilles. Remember last year they wouldn't get under center at all?
Yes.
And it was just like they had to be in the gun or in the pistol because he couldn't move. Yeah, they're still kind of running their offense like that. Through three games, they've only gone under center 13 times. Which for a team that wants to get down and run the football and run a Shanahan McVay-ish kind of offense, first of all, they need to get under center more. Those 13 plays when they've gotten under center, they've run on 12 out of 13 of those plays. One play action pass in the first game that was incomplete. So 92% run rate when they're under center. Highest in the NFL. When they get in the shotgun, 93% pass rate when they're in the gun. There's no shotgun run game. It's not a if they're in the gun, highest pass rate in the NFL. When they're in the pistol, and they use the pistol more than any team in the league by a pretty wide margin, they're more than 70% run. Also, fourth lowest play action rate in the league for a guy in Michael Penix, who when he was at Washington his final year was the best play action passer in the country. You have a good O-line, you have Bijan Robinson, you have Tyler Allgeier. The play action game theoretically should work so well.
Yeah, that should be a Falcons bread and
especially
butter.
Especially with what you showed in the run game last week in dominating Minnesota on the ground.
Right.
And you have Michael Penix, who has an absolute hose, top five or six arm in football. Something like that?
Michael Penix?
Yeah.
Yes.
Lowest deep passing rate in the NFL, 4%. This offense is not at all being tailored to the players that they have and what they probably should be doing. I'll be honest with you. I think I would take at least two-thirds of what they do in the pistol. I would get under center. Because there's no, there's not an ounce of deception. I really think they're tip. I think they're tipping their pitches offensively.
Interesting stuff, man. Zach Robinson came out of the Sean McVay Rams offense. He was the OC during their Super Bowl season with Stafford. Last year, there was a lot of complaining about the play calling, about what they did with Cousins before he got benched late in the year. Advantage Washington Sunday defense against Atlanta's offense, I guess, unless they just can line it up in 12 personnel, maybe even more than 12, maybe three tight ends, and run it at Washington. We'll see. I said that there's a stat out there, this from my guy Alex, who sent me this. Per Pro Football Focus, Mike Sanristil is struggling through three games. Quarterbacks per PFF have a 123.9 NFL passer rating against him. He's given up 13 receptions for 114 yards and one touchdown. He has struggled a little bit, you know, and now the secondary, we'll see about Amos. We'll hear something about his injury. We haven't even really talked about that today. In a few minutes with Quinn. But, you know, the secondary, which I think a lot of people were really optimistic about, that it was going to be a strength defensively, a strength of the football team because of the additions, the Trey Amos addition in particular. And Sam was still coming back for his second season after a very solid rookie season. It has struggled. Now, last week it was banged up, but there have been communication issues certainly in that secondary. And you wonder if it's personnel or whether it's scheme, play calling, etc. Yeah. The good news is they've had a pass rush and they've stopped the run. At a much better rate than they did a year ago. All right, let's get to a break. Dan Quinn's about to address the media out in Ashburn. We will carry that live when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. It is September 23rd. We start off with Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy. He was let go yesterday after more than 20 years in his position. The firing comes after Oklahoma State's first loss to Tulsa since 1951, and the writing was on the wall already prior to this season with a winless Big 12 schedule last year after a 52-0 loss against Colorado. The Guardians, they caught the Detroit Tigers in the race to win the AL Central after Detroit star pitcher Tarik Skubal collapsed and gave up three runs in the sixth inning with a 2-0 lead. The Guardians playing hot right now. They are 9-1 in their last 10, and the Tigers sliding as they are 1-9 in their last 10 games. They are now tied for the lead in the AL Central with just a few games to go remaining in the season. The Nats, they fall to the Braves by a score of 3-2. Brad Lord goes six innings, giving up four hits and two earned runs, both of which were solo home runs. The boys unable to light up the offense outside of a James Woods solo home run. They will take on the Braves one final time this season before turning their attention to the Chicago White Sox. First pitch just minutes ago, 12:15. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave was at 11:45 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, Dan Quinn expected to address the media here momentarily. We will carry that live when it happens. Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald will be eligible in their first year of Hall of Fame possibilities. They're two of the nominees among the modern era players. That was announced today for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. The other nominees in their first year of eligibility are quarterbacks Philip Rivers and Alex Smith. That actually was interesting to me. I don't see the Alex Smith case for the Hall of Fame. Tight ends Greg Olsen, Jason Witten, running backs Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy, offensive lineman David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, Geno Atkins, and Jarrell Casey are the defensive players, along with linebacker Thomas Davis. Remember, he was here briefly with Rivera coming from Carolina. The screening committee will reduce the candidates to 50 in October, with then down to 25, etc. The other returning finalists from last year are Eli Manning, Fred Taylor, Steve Smith Jr., Reggie Wayne, Jahari Evans, Marshall Yanda, Terrell Suggs, and Darren Woodson. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald, to me, are first ballot Hall of Famers. Did you hear what Drew Brees said on the Stephen A. Smith show on ESPN yesterday? We got Quinn now? I'll save the Drew Brees stuff for later. Here's Dan Quinn live in Ashburn.
All right. What's up, everybody? All right. I told you I'd have an update on some injuries, and I'll kind of get started on that, and then we'll get into the game. So first, let's start with Jaden. He'll continue in his return-to-play process, and you'll see him out there today in a limited fashion. And we'll continue to rely on the medical team, you know, to fully clear him. But what I can say is, man, he is doing everything you possibly can to get there. The guy's the ultimate competitor for us. You know that. I know that. But he is absolutely digging it. As far as the other injuries, we're going to work through that. And I'll take it through Friday and give you the updates as it goes. Then lastly, just the matchup for this weekend. And last time went into extra time, to go through that. And we expect that kind of same fight and battle again. We'll need to have that complimentary football that we leaned into last week again. And ready to get rocking with you guys.
So with Terry, what can you say? Is he getting more information on his quad, and what's the level of concern for him for Sunday?
Yeah, it's pretty normal that when you have something that a second opinion takes place, that's not uncommon at all. Honestly, it's just the opposite. It's really common. Almost everybody does that in some spaces. So as we get into, I'll have a better answer, as I get closer to Rise, I get into Friday, and then we'll have a sense for, okay, where does it look like for Sunday?
And then with Jaden, what is it, that you've been able to watch him do so far? Is he able, you talked about the cutting and the pivoting. Have you been able to watch him do any of those kind of activities?
I have, and like I said, he's worked really hard on that space. And so we'll lean in on the medical side too, John, just to make sure they'll, be the ones to fully clear. But he's working really hard to hit all the stuff that he needs to hit.
Do you expect Terry to be at practice today?
I don't expect Terry to be at practice today. He will be out for today. I'll have updates for him by Friday of where we're at for the game.
Okay. Special teams question. Yes. I know you addressed it on Monday, but you know, you mentioned how that's part of your play style. You guys take a lot of pride in it. When did you start to feel like that could be sort of a weapon for you guys or give you guys an edge?
I'm going to go back because I think it's important on it, Nikki. When the new kickoff rule started, we were right at the front of that to say, can this be an advantage? Can we find a space that we could create that from field position to identity? So I thought it would begin there on the kickoff and kickoff return side. Then as we got to learn it better, and we were all kind of at the first part, remember there was a lot from OTAs through training camp. So I thought it began then, and then adding, you know, obviously Tress, the way he can punt, putting people down and the different style of players, you know, like obviously Revo and, you know, is at the front of it, but then it's Ballore and then Percy Butler and others that just started to emerge in this way. And we thought, man, this can be a weapon for us and we can really push and feature the guys and use them in those ways. But I think it was the kickoff and the decisions to say, we're going to go for it and really try to be at the front of this if we can. And I think that was the start of it.
Hey, Coach, I know you guys are very diligent in that return to play process, but is the fact that Sunday's game is, you know, still September football, an early season game, does that time period shift whether or not you guys are going to maybe encourage guys to play Sunday versus if it were a postseason, late season game? Does that timeline factor in at all?
No. Yeah, I think they're all in the same space and, like, the medical team putting the whole thing together for it. They have, guidelines they want to follow. So, no, I think everything's kind of the way we would go after it is consistent.
Chick, the way the team responded with Marcus, obviously there's a high level of confidence in him if Jaden Daniels can't go. What was he able to give you, and did you learn anything about him, even though you knew a lot about him already?
I don't know if I learned anything because of what I've seen, you know, over the year and a half. I was one of the least surprised people that he would play well in the stadium because what I've seen out here and the work. I did know, the work that he puts in to get himself ready. So I've seen all of that, Chick. So I don't know if I learned anything different other than confirming this is a real competitor and this style and the attitude and the way that he plays just suits him, you know, so well in this system.
You talked about Jeremy. Obviously, with Will out, he's probably in line for more playing time. What has most impressed you about him, I guess, on the defensive side of the ball? We know what he does on special teams, but on defense.
What I noticed jumped from 2024 to 2025, man, the speed elevated even again. Is that a year after being injured? Could be. But I felt like the speed and the tackling even ramped up more. I saw it in the preseason games. I saw it at practice, too. And so we had already seen some of that begin, but I felt the speed and the tackling and that position, you know, he's usually right in the middle of all of it, but I did feel that level up in 2025 from spring training camp and into this early part of the season.
I know you won't know about Terry's status and probably Noah Brown as well until the end of the week, but if they can't go, what kind of opportunity would that be for guys like Jalen and Luke to get some more playing time?
Yeah, that's where you usually lead to when you don't know where that's going to be. What I do know is that we have a big, deep crew, you know, at a lot of spots, and we train the players that don't count on this as a possibility, but more as a certainty of knowing that at some point, you know, when that space comes where you're called upon, that you're able to deliver, it's one of the best feelings that you can provide to your teammates to do that. So what does that look like during the week at all the positions, showing you're ready, showing that you're able to, so when, you know, when that opportunity comes, you're just ready to do it. Might be at one position one time and then another one, hey, now it's at this one. And so you just push this 70-man roster all the way forward, all the way in, and if you can demonstrate you're ready, then when your opportunity comes, you have a lot of confidence because you've put the work in.
With an opponent making changes on the offensive side in terms of play calling and things like that, what sort of a challenge does that present for you, maybe not knowing what to expect, or you can't worry about or guess at what might change?
Yeah, I can't worry about that. think those things take place, and you speaks to his team's urgency, where they're at, what they're trying to hit on, what might be the, you know, the emphasis for them. Sometimes it's with a player, you know, to make sure he gets more touches, he does, you know, more factor into it. So you have to let it play out. Those are out of our control. You're aware of those, and then, but as far as trying to lean in too much to it, we generally don't do that.
With the kicking game, what, if any, is your level of concern about inconsistency there, and have you or will you bring in anyone to compete for that spot?
Yeah, we have a lot of confidence in Matt to go. I was pleased to see, you know, the one at the end of the half. So as we're going through it, we're still digging in to find our spaces to go. But, no, we have full belief in Matt.
Hey, Dan, Sunday's going to be a special game for you, too, because obviously you coached in Atlanta. You have a lot of friends there, and I'm sure a lot of memories there. What is that going to be like for you going in there as a head coach of the Commanders where you used to coach in Atlanta?
Well, it's not like a return to one go. We've played them, you know, last year and, you know, done another times before. But I always have, like, huge gratitude for Arthur Blank and his family and, you know, giving me the opportunity to do that. But past that, it's for the guys and in between the white lines. So we'll be ready to battle, too.
Coach, next man up seems like a cliche term used during sports. But with this team, with this organization, you all seem to thrive in these situations. What is it about this team that allows for them to excel in those moments?
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I think that is too much of a cliche because there's another player behind that, you know, the injury or what happened to take place. But what I do know and what we do train hard as, there is going to be a spot, you know, and when you're ready, you've got to go nail it. And if you're waiting for that moment to happen and then all of a sudden it hits you, you're not going to be as prepared as you could have been. And so the way that we go about it is everybody gets reps at practice to make sure they're pushing it to see where we go. We're evaluating, pushing the skills. So if we can continue to get better, when that moment comes and the opportunity is called upon, man, you're ready to deliver. So the competition helps that. We do some at each practice, just non-carded, non-scripted, offense versus defense, going to play. And that keeps a player sharp. You know, they know they got to react. They got to make the plays and make the calls. But having all 70 in our mindset, that's a big part of who we are and how we do it, knowing there's going to be adversity. I think early on in my career, you coach, you want this to happen, then this to happen, this to happen. Then you learn later, man, like sometimes that plan isn't there. This is how you have to go win the game. And that could be due to injury, you know, them playing a different way. And so if you think in those ways, man, like be able to adjust. And when that time comes, you go let it rip. And you have to have confidence in the people to do that. And we do.
Running tight on time. We'll take three more.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Dan Quinn speaking live in Ashburn.
Punt return unit as a whole has been pretty strong for you guys this year. For the Falcons, their punter and their punt coverage team has also been pretty strong for them. How do you go about making sure that your strength can be stronger than theirs, and how big of a boost can that give you this weekend if you can make that happen?
Yeah, the field position, man, that's the thing. You know, can you find ways to get a long return, find ways that's, you know, could be a first down, could be two first downs in terms of the field position. So finding your spaces, you know, when they're trying to flip the field and somebody, not just Atlanta, but anybody kicks it deep, you know, that's when you have a chance, because usually the long returns don't come, you know, when you're, you know, on a plus 50 punt. Those are the ones that you have your chance and you got to go. And then the outside guys are key for us, man, the gunners, and they've got to feel the speed and go after it. So it's definitely a good matchup this weekend on both sides, man. And like, absolute, you'll feel speed and energy and toughness on both sides.
With Sam Cosmi, how is his rehab going? And with the ability to open his window come Monday, do you expect to open it then? Do you have a return to play plan in place for him there?
Yeah, we're working hard, and he has really put in the work. And so that's where we're aiming towards. And then as we get into next week, we'll see if he's ready to take that next step. But this is another guy, man, has just all off season through the summer to go to put the work in. And so what are the last little bits of that? You try to simulate as much as you can, simulated sets, this, but he does need to be back in the team setting. So as soon as that can happen, that helps him in a normal ramp up process too.
Last one.
Dan, with Dorrance Armstrong, when you guys brought him in, obviously you and Joe knew him well, figured that his acclimation period would be one of the faster ones, but it really wasn't until maybe the playoffs that his statistics at least really started to take off, and that's continued. Did something change for him, click? Was there something just over time that he developed, found more confidence in, whatever it was?
Yeah, and I don't. We'll have to look, Ben. That's a good question. Like, I felt there was significant pressure from DA, but maybe not the numbers from the sack standpoints. That might be something that we can look into. But now, different sides for him. He's always been somebody that could be equipped to go over the guards, over the tackles, move into different locations. So we didn't do that as much with him last year. Dante mostly played one side. He mostly played the other. So now we're probably a little more fluid of how we feature the guys. But I think converting from a pressure into a sack, obviously that's a big deal. And I don't know, but I felt like the pressures were higher, even though maybe the sack numbers weren't as high. So that might be one thing that he's able to finish more so far.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate All right. Thank you, everybody.
Dan Quinn, everybody. Not much, right? Pretty much pushing everything back to Friday, as he did a week ago. I'll read from last week's transcript 1 week ago on the plan for Jaden. Good rehab session, threw out on the field, won't practice today, then we'll, you know, give you more of an assessment on Friday. Now, today, what he said was he will practice, albeit in a limited fashion. That could be just throwing and moving and running. I don't know if we'll find out who took actually all of the reps in practice, but he's going to push off anything until Friday. By the way, I agree with the whole mindset here. You hold back all of this information until you have to give it because you're putting a player on injured reserve. Now, as it relates to Terry, not going to practice today. Getting second opinions on the injury is pretty much a mainstay. It's common. But again, on him, we'll know more on Friday. So, Jaden, a limited participant in practice, more on Friday. Terry, out today, more on Friday. So there you go on that. What did you need me to check, Max?
So, you know how last week Marcus Mariota was the one who spoke to the media?
Who's speaking to the media? Jaden is.
Today it is Jaden, and we just got that confirmed by Ben and JP. So do with that what you will.
All right. So there you go. Jaden Daniels will be addressing the media today as the quarterback from this practice. I guess last week, because he didn't really practice, it didn't make much sense. I don't know. That's a better sign for him on Sunday, but it's not a definitive sign. If he were a full go in practice, I think that would have been a definitive sign. But if you think that Quinn's not disseminating any information, Jaden's pretty good at that as well. They've coached those guys up really well out there. What else did he say today? Full confidence in Matt Gay. So there you go. Look, he was a 56-yard field goal miss away, and maybe a timeout by the Raiders there before he took that free swing and missed it, away from, you know, having to face a lot of competition this week. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, there was a question about during the press conference about the change in play calling for the Falcons. They have not changed their play caller. Zach Robinson is still their play caller. But what he is doing this week for the first time is he is moving down from the booth to the sideline. I guess they want him closer to Michael Penix Jr. Really intriguing game Sunday, certainly from an overall standpoint of the NFL card. That's not the game that's going to get the attention of most fans when you've got, you know, Eagles, Bucks, you got Colts, Rams, you got Ravens, Chiefs, you got Packers, Cowboys. But a really interesting game in the NFC because Washington can get to 3-1 weathering all of these, you know, early season injuries, and the Falcons would fall to 1-3, and there was certainly hope after week two that they had a chance to be a contender not only in their division but in the NFC, as, you know, at the very least a wild card contender. And I think, you know, for the Falcons, a lot will be learned about the Zach Robinson, Michael Penix Jr. situation. And for us, you know, we're about to figure out, you know, what they really have depth-wise at wide receiver, because it certainly would appear as if Terry's in jeopardy of missing at the very least a game. Nothing on Noah Brown, nothing on John Bates during his discussion there. So there you go. Some interesting things about Dorrance Armstrong there at the end. Yeah, it's been noticeable that he's been moved around a lot. You know, it's funny to watch them, you know, live in the game and then go back and sort of watch it even more so. They, in certain situations, and I would say mostly third down situations, nobody's in a three-point stance on the line of scrimmage. They really kind of move around. There's a lot of stunts going on with the linebackers in particular. And you, but none of the D linemen have, you know, a hand in the ground. Sometimes one or two do and two don't. Armstrong's one of those players that typically does not play in those situations with a hand in the ground. I've been so impressed, and I think many of you have as well, so impressed with the start that he has had. Quinn was also asked about, you know, special teams. Look, he, you know, he kind of patted his staff on the back, saying with the new kickoff rules, they were at the forefront of sort of addressing these things and trying to figure out how to use it to their advantage. I think a lot of teams, you know, certainly spent a lot of time thinking about the rule change last year and then the tweak to the rule change, a significant tweak heading into this season, you know, penalizing teams for touchbacks by another 5 yards, which has made all the difference on the number of returns. The number of returns is up exponentially from where it's been. But there's some data out there through the first 3 weeks on opponents starting field position and what's leading to it. Well, Washington did lead the league last year in the fewest number percentage of kickoffs that were touchbacks. They did want to cover kicks. They thought that the 30-yard line, they could stop teams on average before the 30-yard line. And more importantly, because Quinn talked about this all last year, and he's already talked about it multiple times this year, they wanted to set a tone of being a physical football team, a team that embraced contact, and it started with kickoffs. Well, through the first 3 weeks of the season, Washington is sixth in the league, pretty good, in opponents starting field position. The opponents are starting starting average field position, the 27.64 yard line. So basically the 28-yard line, if you round up there, versus touchbacks, it would start at the 35. So they're gaining 7 yards by covering kicks. They have not yet given up, right? I don't think they have. A massive, you know, backbreaking kickoff return. By the way, Carolina, number one in the league in opponents' average starting field position, the 21-yard line. The Rams are second at the 21.65-yard line. The Falcons, Washington's opponent, third in the league with opponents starting at the 26-yard line. The Giants are actually fourth. The Texans are fifth. What's interesting about that list is four of the worst teams in the league right now, record-wise, are in the top six, are in the top five. The Giants, Falcons, Panthers, and Texans, who are winless in their first three. But I think it's an important number, and I think part of what we've seen on these kickoffs is if you can get the ball to sort of knuckle through the air rather than be an easy-to-catch football where the returners have to kind of let it hit and bounce, that's where the teams have been the most effective in covering kicks. The knuckleball kickoff that you can get to land inside the 20 and before the goal line is the hardest to field and gives you an advantage in kick coverage. By the way, the worst in the league, the 49ers are allowing teams to start on average at the 33.8-yard line or the 34 rounded up. That's a big part of the game now. Huge part of the game, and Washington has excelled on both sides of it, the coverage side of it and the return side of it with Deebo Samuel. And even with Luke McCaffrey, who has had some good returns as well and was close to a big return on Sunday but just kind of stumbled. I think you throw that together with Washington's excellent punt coverage, which they've been very good at. They were last year, and they have been so far this year, along with now Jalen Lane as a legitimate home run threat as a punt returner. Washington's gaining a lot through those, you know, few special teams plays in a game. You know, I was looking at something too. You know, Jeremy McNichols has played a lot of special teams since they brought him here in 2024. He basically played nearly half of the special team snaps in 2024. Well, Sunday, zero special team snaps for Jeremy McNichols. And that's a sign, forget the result, what happened in the game, but they didn't plan on playing him on special teams because he was going to be a big part of the running back by committee. You know, it was going to be Rodriguez, it was going to be Bill, but they had plans to use Jeremy McNichols as part of, as an equal part of that running back by committee. And I don't expect that to change. The fact that this guy's been a significant special teams player and didn't take one special team snap for the first time since he got to Washington, that was the plan going in, which meant they knew he was going to be a big part of it. Now, I think we could have guessed he was going to be a big part of the Eckler third down, you know, responsibilities. But we saw him on first down and second down, and we saw some good results. It'll be interesting to see if McNichols actually has a chance to end up being the surprise lead back for them if they end up going with somebody more than the other two. I don't know if that'll happen, but they have a lot of confidence in him. All right, we are done for the day. Chris Russell's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.